Did you know that Iran used to be the heart of Sunni Islam? After Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, passed away in the year 632, the Muslims began to expand out of the Arabian Peninsula in all directions. Simultaneously, they attacked both Rome and Persia, the two greatest empires in the world at the time, and somehow they managed to win victory after victory. From the Roman side, they managed to win a number of battles, wresting Palestine and Syria and Jordan and Egypt from the hands of the Romans. But even though the Roman Empire was losing ground quickly, they managed to hold on to their empire for another 800 years until eventually the fall of Constantinople. But Persia, on the other hand, fell much quicker. The Romans had recently defeated the Persians on the battlefield, and soon after, a plague devastated the empire, killing over 100,000 people in just the capital city alone. And with the Persian Empire crumbling and weak, all it took was two major battles, and the kingdom had fallen. Throughout the next 50 years, the remaining Persian lands were swallowed by the caliphate and incorporated into the Muslim Empire. But while Persia was now under Muslim control, life in the Persian Empire, at least at first, didn't change all that much. The government structure and organization was left intact, and the language of the government was only changed from Persian to Arabic many decades later. But more than the government, the people themselves retain their language and their culture till this day, and the majority of Persians at the time remain Zoroastrian for hundreds of years to come. Zoroastrian temples remained in every town and city, but at the same time, many Muslims began to preach the message of Islam to the Persians, slowly converting the population. The first people to convert were the Persians who worked in industrial and artisan positions. These people were often considered impure because of the work that they did, according to Zoroastrianism, defiled the sanctity of fire, something sacred in the Zoroastrian religion. And so, feeling ostracized by their own society, they were more inclined to listen to the Muslims who were preaching another religion. And in some ways, they found Islam not far from their own beliefs. They had already believed in a creator which they called Ahura Mazda, and in an evil spirit which they called Ahriman. And so Muslims explaining to them Allah and Iblis wasn't difficult to understand. And although many Persians did convert to Islam, the process was long and gradual, and it was only some 300 years later that the Persian people truly became a Muslim majority nation. And that's when the Muslims themselves began to flourish. The Persians were the descendants of a massive empire that had stretched from Middle East throughout Central Asia for thousands of years. Over millennia, they had developed an extremely rich heritage and culture. They were the masters of science and philosophy and mathematics and medicine, and when they became Muslim, they contributed immensely to the Islamic world. Many of the most famous scholars and theologians in Islamic history were Persian. There was Abu Hanifa, who was the founder of the Hanafi madhab. Then you had Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, who compiled the two sahihs. You also had Al-Ghazali and Ibn Sina and At-Tabari and At-Tirmidhi and so many more scholars who came from that Persian lineage. And around that time, Persia became the capital of the Golden Age of Islam, and huge amounts of money and resources were put into translating old Greek and Persian and Indian texts, building huge libraries in the capital city of Baghdad. And the Muslims used that wealth of knowledge to become the most scientifically developed nation in the world. This marriage between Arabs and the Persians and the Kurds and the Turks and Muslims from all the surrounding nations would later on be known as the Golden Age of Islam. But just as every other empire had fallen before it, this empire too would have its time.
And by the way, if you want to support the channel and help me pay my editors, you can sign up for my Patreon, link in the YouTube video description. Anyway,
you see, in the mid-1200s, the Mongol Empire began its conquests throughout Central Asia, destroying everything in its path. And by the time it reached Baghdad in 1258, the Muslim world was in shambles, and soon Baghdad too would be destroyed. And while the Mongols only ruled the Muslims for around 100 years, new Muslim empires began to fill the void and claim the region for themselves. In the 1300s, two new Muslim empires had emerged: the Timurids, who were the Muslim descendants of the Mongols in the east, and the Ottomans, who were descended from the Turks in the west. Soon, both empires would compete for control over the Middle East, and eventually borders would be drawn between Anatolia and Persia. But while the Ottomans continued to grow and expand their empire, the Timurids eventually stagnated, and soon they fell apart. Once again, a power vacuum was created in Persia, and that's when a new dynasty was born, one that would actually change the religion of Persia and convert the nation to Shiaism. You see, the various Shia sects had always had some presence in Persia, evolving and diverging, though up until that point, they had remained a small minority. But in the year 1500, one Twelver Shia prince named Shah Ismail managed to unite an army of 7,000 Turkish troops under his command, and together they captured the city of Baku in modern-day Azerbaijan. From there, he grew his army and began conquering the rest of Persia, eventually uniting the Safavid Empire in 1501 and declaring the official state religion, Twelver Shiaism. From there, Shah Ismail began a campaign of forced conversion. First, Sunni scholars were captured and given the choice of conversion, death, or exile. Shiite scholars were then brought in from other regions to take their place. Sunni mosques were destroyed, Sunni Sufi orders were disbanded, and all their assets were seized. The new state then built Shia shrines around the country and developed Shia institutions and religious art and enforced the ritual of cursing Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, the first three caliphs of the Islamic world. Anyone who resisted and stubbornly remained a Sunni was either persecuted, imprisoned, exiled, or executed. And there are a few main reasons as to why Shah Ismail ordered this campaign of forced conversion. Part of it was personal in that he hated Sunnism and the Sunni Muslims. But another more interesting reason was the Sunni Ottoman Empire right next door. Shah Ismail saw the Ottomans as his main rival, and he wanted to build a strong national bond amongst his people to counter their influence. By making Persia a bastion for Shiaism and removing the Sunni Muslims, they could block any religious influence that the Ottomans may have held, ensuring that his people stayed loyal to him, while at the same time gaining the loyalty of the Shia minorities within the Ottoman Empire itself. The result of all this was that, by the end of the Safavid era in 1722, the vast majority of people who lived in modern-day Iran and Azerbaijan had become Twelver Shias. But there had been some people who had escaped that persecution. In the mountainous region of Laristan, the Lari people were able to maintain their Sunni Islam because they were always isolated from the central government. Other groups such as the Baluchis and the Turkomans, some of the Kurds, and a few Arab tribes managed to remain Sunni as they lived along the border regions at the edges of the Safavid Empire. Today, around 5% of Iran and around 40% of Azerbaijan remain Sunni, a testament to the history of two Muslim lands that were once a bastion of Sunni Islam in the Islamic world. Comment down below what you think and like and subscribe for more Muslim facts.